This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com. We await Sam making the transition from one set of equipment to the other, but it is time for the MGoBlog Roundtable here on this Thursday morning. So we can say good morning to the fellas. Good morning to Brian Cook. Brian, how are you? Good to see you. Good correction on the grammar there. I appreciate that. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I'm either good or well, whichever one is grammatically correct.
And Seth?
I don't know if this is a political doing great.
All right. That is just being great is fine. It's not a political statement. I mean, I guess in theory, anything could be turned into, but it's not the case here. So
I don't want it to be misinterpreted.
I understand. All so right, well,
you're,
as we
you're begging someone to misinterpret you.
So. And as we just said, good morning to the fellows. We bring Sam in as well. And so we say good morning to Sam, and Sam will take it away.
You got glasses.
Yeah, man. Look, they are blue light glasses. You got to have the when you stare at the screen as much as I do. My eyes have been, you know, bothering me and getting headaches. My wife got me these glasses, and I probably need glasses anyway, but definitely when I'm looking at the screen as much as I am, these have been doing the trick for me. I don't know if you guys use
blue
glasses ever?
No, my eyes are just always tired. That's the problem.
Yeah, man. It's definitely doing a thing for me right now. But good morning, fellas. Glad you could join the show, as always, here on the MGoBlog Roundtable. As, of course, Noah does not want me to go on the air without him chiming in. But I want you guys to chime in on the completion of the defensive coaching staff. I know it's a wait and see. I understand there's a lot to be determined. There's much we don't know. But based on what you've learned about is by as far as reading their backgrounds and bios, what do you think these guys are going to bring to the table?
I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, you bring a guy from the NFL. There's always some questions about whether he's adapted to the college. People had those questions, but it's not a death knell. And then, you know, you have a guy like Jeff Hafley at Ohio State. He's done a fairly good Boston College. You know, in most situations, you're able to go and like, oh, this is Don Brown's resume. This seems like a good resume. But here, it's a position coach, and there's not really a whole lot to say about position coaches when they're coming from a college rank. So I know Ira mentioned that one of the guys had recruited Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Lindquist.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, if you aren't familiar, I don't know how they did it, frankly. Because now, I understand how they got him initially, because he's not Atlanta. He's, you know, I don't know if it's like Central Georgia or South Georgia, but he's not in the, you know, he's not one of the city kids. So, but he blew up at the scene. And by the time that happened, Georgia, Florida, the big time SEC were all trying to get him to stay home. He stuck with Minnesota and the strength of that relationship. And talked to Ryan Burns about it. He's like, I think they got like four or five guys from Georgia that year, and he's responsible for all of it. Freaking Minnesota, which is why I said, in a response to someone on Twitter about it, it's like, yeah, he got all those Texas guys at Texas A&M, but can he get any guys to come north? I said, well, he probably won't get as many guys as he got at A&M, but if you can get Rashad Bateman to come from Georgia to Minnesota, I have some hope, Brian.
Well, yeah, I mean, and these guys are all with each other. Have a coherent staff that has a coherent vision for defense, which I don't know we really did last year because of circumstances outside of our control. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. They're not going to be able to change the personnel that much. Maybe they'll be able to coach some guys up. It's a long road back from what last year's.
Yeah,
you know,
they got to be in a portal. Go ahead, Craig.
I'm sorry, Sam. My thinking is this. I mean, these guys, and including Mike Hart, have a certain similarity. And the similarity is they're all young and they all played in the NFL or have not played or have NFL experience. And so it strikes me that Harbaugh, first of all, has taken vis-a-vis the athletic department, a sort of a godfather. I mean, Ward Manuel negotiated, in my opinion, a great deal with Harbaugh in terms of the athletic department, and good for Harbaugh for taking it, and to some extent, you know, doubling down on the pass line on his own ability to turn the ship. And so what he's done is a clever thing in my mind by bringing very young guys in. And that's that, okay, maybe this year isn't going to be so great, but we're just going to freaking kill it on the recruiting. And we're going to show that even if this year things aren't as good as we might prefer, that there's going to be this light at the end of the tunnel coming, and it's going to be coming with young guys, NFL experience, who can kill it on the recruiting trail. And so what I see Harbaugh doing is sort of being very future look in terms of who comes into the program, as opposed to obsessing about, well, what will it look like this year? And to me, that's all good, because I think, you know, anything they can do this year that's positive, I don't think fans as a whole are expecting, to be honest. And so to me, this is sensible. It's been smart by Harbaugh. And so the whole picture to me looks better than it'd say a month, but just my opinion.
Seth? Yeah, I kind of agree with Craig that, like, Harbaugh, what you want him to do now, right? Like, chances are either he's going to have a great season, or he's, because they have the buyout's not so tough that they can't get rid of him. So what you want out of Harbaugh to set him up for either himself or has set up them, because Michigan's not going to compete with Ohio State. There's a question of whether they build a program years down the road that has a shot, right? And if you want to build that program, if you want to set up for them, you need to get some players on this team. And I think that's things they – Mo Linguist, I don't care what you make that hire, that's a good hire, right? That's the kind of guy you want. The year in the NFL, I think people are over – he's only been in the NFL 1 year, really 1 year and 1 week. And before that, he was Texas A&M. Before that, he was Minnesota. He's been at Iowa State, Buffalo. He's been 10 different places. And, you know, that guy's seen a lot of things for a young dude. He's out there. I don't know anything about Mike McCarthy. If you're replacing Don Brown, you know, hopefully John Harbaugh saw some of this guy and said, hey, he'd take him. And then Mike Hart, I love that pick. Because Hart's the kind of guy who can survive a range, right? Like, you know, you can switch head coaches, and Hart will still be switch head coaches more times than Hart. Because he's got some potential head coach as well. So I think Hart's a guy that you want around.
I just need Hart to recruit a guy and call him Mike Hart, but fast.
I think he already might have said that about Blake Corum.
Oh, man. Look, I think, Craig, you have me thinking about this in a different – I hadn't thought about it from the standpoint of, you know, loading up recruiting with the idea being that you are going to be so good, you're going to show such a difference and an improvement in that area that if you fall short on the field, that it, you know, maybe the promise of the future can be enough to keep you a part of it. I hadn't thought about it like that. I definitely think recruiting is very much in mind with the moves that he's making. But I just, you know, I don't think that there's a, and this is my opinion, I don't think there's a concession about the present because of the portal. Now, whether they can be successful in upgrading, like, I mean, are you going to go and get, you know, Justin Fields or, you know, Sermon? I mean, are you going to go getting some of the guys in the portal like Ohio State and Oklahoma have gotten? Probably not. But can you get upgrade? I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask for them to be able to get upgrade in the portal at crucial positions like defensive line, you know, cornerback, especially to just really bolster those positions to the point where they aren't, you know, just huge holes for them. If they can do that, then maybe they aren't competing with Ohio State, to Seth's point, but at least you're back to where you were before you fell off last year.
I mean, Sean Newell did the last couple. Like, they completely undermined that guy by basically letting it be out there he wasn't coming back next. And I think people assume that, and I think they lost some. And, like, Quentin Somerville, I don't care that much about. They were out of it for Rooks, and they were out of it for other guys early on because it did look like he retained. So then you retain him, and, like, who are you bringing back? He getting? Because, like, Antonio Shelton leaves Penn State and immediately goes to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, and Sam's point is good, too. I mean, I'm not saying the current season is already gone, but what I'm saying is when you look at this team, particularly the defense, you have to wonder, you know, how they're really going to compete. And it seems to me that it is a legitimate point to say, hey, we still have time in the portal. because there will be guys still coming through there. But I know Michigan picked up an offensive tackle, right, which I don't know much about. Willie Allen, is that right? I think he's here on campus now. Seems like he could be a good fit at right tackle for Michigan, but I don't know if he is or isn't.
I think this needs to be, you know, the kind of year. I think the portal is going to be on another level from where it is absolutely like for seeing. Hopefully Michigan can really treat it like that. I mean, they are going to be more limited than the competition when it comes to admission, sure, because that's just a fact of life. But it's not like they're going out and trying to. I mean, they got what, two JUCOs in our lifetimes, guys. So it's not going to be, you know, they aren't going to have a conversation when it comes to, you know, patches for holes like they have had in the past. They should be able to tangibly help, get some tangible help on the portal side of things. And as for Sean Newell, a couple of things. I mean, George Rooks is still out there. The word was that, and one of the things he was waiting to see was if Newell was going to be retained, that has some impact on him. And I know very publicly on the Rayshon Benny front, he's been saying that he's locked into Michigan State. I certainly think that Michigan is going to try to test that now that Newell has been retained. And then I guess what I'm most interested in is what direction Sean Newell goes in without the parameters that were by Don Brown. So, you know, will he recruit more like 300-plus pounder as a the chain? Assuming it's a scheme fit, I would argue, though, I think that was one of maybe the different philosophy. But you can't recruit something that doesn't fit what your immediate boss wants. So I think that will be one. And then I think another thing that he's going to try to do is to try to jump into some more of these higher profile recruitments out west, especially on the Polynesian, with some of the Polynesian kids that Michigan reluctant to jump in on. I think he's going to try to get more seriously involved in some of those things. Now, whether it works or not, to your point, Seth, remains to be, but those are some of the differences that I expect to manifest, at least as far as approaches.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple guys on that level who had like a little jump when they hired, and then this just kind of petered out so fast that you wonder, what did we ever even have? And I don't think that like anything.
That's kind of the point. Yeah. You know, do you jump in and say, oh, we don't have a chance at this guy, and then you drop off? Or do you say, hey, if you're gonna recruit these guys, you gotta understand that you gotta be in it for the long haul, and it's not gonna be easy. It's not gonna look promising. You know, you might go 1 for 10, but if you get one, shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I've been making this for a while that expensive, and I don't mean it like in giving the players a McDonald's bag at Tennessee kind of way, but like it takes a lot of recruiting, and a lot of teams can be focused on defensive tackle and cornerback, or you know, there's not a whole lot of thrills, right? Once you see that guy, then okay, that dude at the college level, as long as he's got what at the college level and whatnot, and then cornerbacks the same way, like they got it, and those guys you can't play a tackle right away, but you know, there's a certain kind of size to play defensive tackle, and every Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia are going to be targeting those guys before they target any. It's the hardest thing.
It's a great point, and we'll have to wait to see if they put that to your – what you're saying is the investment, the time investment involved in recruiting those guys. Are they going to do that? That remains to be seen, but it certainly seems like the staff that they're putting together, that's one of the things they're going to do. We'll see. We'll see in the long run. Hey, guy! Wow, Singapore.
Oh, that's Raj.
As far as the roundtable is concerned, let's go over to the basketball side of things. People want to hear about some hoops. You guys get a chance to check out the IMG Montverde game?
I did, yeah. Well, actually, I watched their other two games. They were playing not Cavalry, the Wasatch. So, you know, Diabate is a guy who is a defensive eraser. And I kind of wonder about his shot if he's going to play the four, because he had some opportunities to take advantage of those. So, but just in terms of like what he's going to look on the defensive end, I think Jaren Jackson will be close, because he's not that thick. He's not that thick, but Jesus, when he goes up to alter a shot, I mean, you got to climb a mountain just to get a ball over. And, you know, Houston is a guy who he's being, you know, it's high school, right? So like their offenses aren't getting you a lot of open shots. But when he gets an open shot, you can ring it up. That guy, And this is the cliche, but he is not just 6'8". He's a rebounder. He's a defender. You know, he can put the ball on the deck for a couple of dribbles. Because of his size, when he gets to the rim, he's going to be a good finisher. You know, he's not a guy who takes over a game in high school and looks like, you know, the number one player in the country. Specifically watch him, you see that he's pretty much already an efficient college player who lets the
Yeah, I like Houston's game a lot. I mean, he's a bit reminiscent to me of a young Glenn Rice. I don't think that's an impossible ceiling for him at all. He's higher rated out of high school than Rice was, but that's a little bit of what I see there. I agree with Giavite. He has a limited offensive game away from the basket, but he's a phenomenal athlete. He could be at U of M for a couple of years, I think, even though he's a five-star. It's possible because he will need to improve some on his offensive game, but defensively, athletically, running the court, he looks like the deal to me. So that's what I see. I love Frankie Collins also. I've mentioned that in the past, and I like this class generally. I would hope one of our guards will stick around to be the grease in the system next year. But we'll see about that.
Do I have to
– Yeah, did I mispronounce it?
He's not sticking with that kind of guy as soon as possible. And I'm pretty sure him too. So I don't mind that. Like, they're probably going to have to. And Franz is a very hard dude. Got skills in so many different weird areas, right? Like, yeah. The guy is super long and also a guard. And I don't replace the production in general because you're going to get some floor space. You're going to get a lot of length and, you know, just the sea of arms that Michigan court is something that have a hard time replacing with Wagner. You bring in these guys and it's just going to get
worse. Giavite is a guy who is developing fairly rapidly. And when he does take a perimeter shot, it's not like he can't do it, yeah. But you know, I think a good percent, because it's just, we've seen with Wisconsin this year that they've had a really hard time together. And Hunter Dickinson is back next year. Okay, that's a great situation at the five, but can you play them? Getting a little bit outside shoot. And maybe Dickinson can provide that. He took some threes in high school, has been developing. He's got that elbow. If he can extend that to the three-point line, those will be important for the idea of having two.
The point about Wisconsin is really good. I noticed last night that seems like they're sort of moved Reavers into their sixth guy, and they're playing more Wall.
Yeah.
With the other dude, I'm blocking on his name. You know, the big guy.
Potter.
More Wall and Potter together than Reavers, and they've sort of shifted Reavers in and out of the lineup. So that's a fair point.
Before we get to the break, just two more guys that I want your guys' opinion on. Of course, Jet Howard. What are you thinking of Jet? Who almost certainly a Wolverine. And then, again, I don't know if people really understand that Michigan is really in it for Jairus Walker. They are really in it. If you look at the teams, how his top list of teams has changed since the fall, Michigan is the consistent, is the, you know, the team that has maintained, like, strong standing. Now it's Michigan, Auburn, and Carolina as the school sticking out for him. He was, you know, arguably the most physically impressive guy on the floor. What did you think of Jairus Walker?
So Walker's a man, like,
right. Right.
Remember Taco Charlton as a recruit, and you just looked at him and you're like, what is going on here? That's Walker.
That's right.
I mean, he's a guy whose shooting will determine whether he's more of a four or a five, and then the upside. But, you know, just in terms of an athlete, be able to go down in the post on both ends, an effective player, that's him. He does have a shot. You know, in high school, it's so hard to tell whether these guys are elite shooters or not, because most of the shots they take are total garbage. But yeah, he's a physical guy. And then Jet Howard, the guy he reminds me of is Tim Hardaway. So he's mostly a shooter. He has the ability to make some plays, about the same size, but he's developing kind of an off the bounce game as well. He's a guy who plug and play, just have him.
It is 9:35 on a Thursday. We'll come back on the other side with part two of the MGoldBlog Roundtable and get into the current Wolverines as they bounce back from that loss to Minnesota last week. Obviously, a bit of a lopsided affair there. But then Michigan came right back, and they were back to their blowout ways against Maryland. We'll pick things up there and return here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. And we are back here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com, Sam Webb. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county, and the roundtable crew is with us, Brian, Craig, and Seth. Now, here's the thing, guys, as we watch this this Michigan team continue through the Big Ten and mostly run roughshod over it. I know they lost to Minnesota. I remember talking to Tim McCormick about it before the game. He said they're going to lose this game. The energy is not going to be the same. He didn't even know Eli Brooks wasn't going to be available for the game. That just compounded matters. And Minnesota had that game circled. But an element of that game and an element of, say, the last few games, team saying Hunter Dickinson is our primary defensive objective. Stopping him, we are going to go all out, and we're going to double on the catch. I mean, we're going to blitz that guy. And if the other guys beat us, they beat us, which is just a really curious thing to me, guys. I mean, I know Hunter's been good, but I think I would change it up a little bit more. I would vary it a little bit more because of the weapons that Michigan has around them, but they just total disregard for that. They are committed to stopping Hunter Dickinson. And while that worked for Minnesota, hadn't worked for, certainly didn't work for Maryland.
No, and there's a big difference between Liam Robbins, the WMU transfer for Minnesota who goes 6'8", and the guys Maryland is trying to double with. So those guys, the center is 6'8", the guy coming over is 6'5", and Hunter can just see over him, and the passes getting out are not going to get batted like they were against Minnesota. And so you have a situation where if you kind of disregard a couple of shots late that were in KenPom time, you're talking about a 12-22 performance. And on the season, Sean D. Brown's shooting 39%, Livers is 44, Smith is 46, Wagner is 34, Brooks is 37. So everybody on the court, once you get around the horn, none of those guys can be sagged off of. And so you're in this recovery mode. Like at one point, poor Daryl Morsell. Daryl Morsell is trying to close out on Livers and gets driven by and is just collapsed in a heap. There's the attempted jam by Wagner because he's able to attack closeout. And, Hunter Dickinson scored 3 points in this game, but there was no question when he didn't play the last throwing on. It wasn't he was playing poorly. It was that Juwan Howard had 13 minutes against a Big Ten foe where he was like, well, let's just try some weird stuff out.
But I guess I wonder, can you keep that up if you're the Big Ten cop? Because, Brian, I think you laid it out perfectly. I mean, if that's how you're going to play, they're going to be getting looks moving forward like they got. Even against Minnesota, they got some open looks that they didn't knock down. But if you're going to continue to give all those guys clean looks like that, that just seems like a recipe for more, for more lopsided fan. I guess they were getting blown out when Hunter Dickinson was going off too, but this doesn't seem like it's going to be an elixir to what Michigan.
The interesting thing for me, Sam, is the big picture of this. You mentioned before we left about how in high school games or maybe it was Brian that all you see is bad shots. I mean, bad shots are more ordinary than not. And this Michigan team, 2 weeks ago, Isaiah in a press conference, I think I mentioned this, talked about how forcing the ball can kill a team and that it destroys the team synergy. This week, Mike Smith said, no one player can own a game. For a team to succeed, there has to be a shared ownership of game. And I thought, wow.
That's philosophical.
Yeah. Not only is it smart, it's completely true. And that when a team buys into the fact that, hey, we all own this game, in this particular game, and basketball in general, you've got a whole different thing going on. And I'm watching a Michigan team that pretty much lives up to that and does that on a week by week basis. So I love that from Mike Smith. Now, next week, we're going to see Sean D. Brown. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to refuse to say anything. He's just going to say, look at my beard. What is this homage to? That's all he's going to say. And it's going to be obvious what it's homage to. Dead communist martyrs. And so it's going to get reduced more and more to this sort of equation that when players own the game, you always have a chance to win. Now, the Minnesota game, this was like a perfect storm of everything conceivable going wrong. We got an officiating crew who decided they were going to allow a lot of clutch and grab on the perimeter. Okay, it wasn't an unfairly officiated game, but it was a style that was going to make it difficult for us. We had Eli being out. You had a Michigan team that didn't shoot the ball very well. And yet still, with about 12 minutes to go, we're only down about 4 or 5 points when we had a complete meltdown with a lineup that wasn't, I think, the best lineup for Michigan at that particular juncture. And when Sean D had sort of made a three, made a steal, got the basket, we're right back in the game, and then it frittered away. But, you know, I really do like this team. We'll see. The next 4 or 5 games will tell all, because now the schedule's harder, I think, and whether they can continue to play at this level. Most sites or most people who look at this have Michigan as a 1 seed right now. KenPom has Michigan as the number 4 team in the country. You know, we'll see. But I like the attitude. I like the feeling of the team. I like the intelligence of this team. And I like how they talk about it in press conference.
I mean, you talk about the danger of the schedule coming up. Michigan's only got one play against Iowa. They only got to play Illinois one. They got 2 games against Michigan State. They get another one against Northwestern. And they get a couple games against Indiana. You know, Rutgers is a tough out, but like, you know, so is everybody in the Big Ten. I don't see the schedule coming up that much more daunting than some of the guys they've faced already. And like that Dickinson matchup that worked so well against Maryland, you know, that's going to work against Ohio State. Their front court's not any larger than Maryland's, and Michigan State's front court is a disaster. So, you know, there's a lot of wins left to get out there, and they could probably lose 2 or 3 more games and, you know, win the Big Ten at this point.
What do you think about Purdue? Yeah, because Brian, I think it was his line. It was a great line. He said playing Purdue's like playing a ball of knives. And wasn't that your line? I think it was.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Well, maybe not, but I thought it was. It was a good line, and it sure is true. And, you know, and they've got Travion Williams, who's a top 10 on KenPom.
That's all usage. Like, he's just he's a 35% usage guy, which is incredible. He's one of the best passers as a center I've seen in the last 10 years.
They need, I heard Matt Painter talking about this, they need better starts. He, you know, second half, he just has been a beast for them, according to Painter. He just needs them to get off to, you know, come out of the gate, you know, do it from the tip, and they'll be better. I mean, I think that will absolutely be the case. Well, you know, if it's a Michigan team on the other side, it's just this guy takes it to another level, goes to another gear. Which is saying something this year, but he was clearly a major factor in them beating Michigan State. When I still like, how did Michigan State lose to Purdue? And I'm looking at Purdue, and how are they?
They put Joey Hauser on Trevion Williams for like a whole half.
They were down 13 without much offensive weaponry. I mean, I look at this Purdue team, and I say, Matt Painter's have far more talented teams than this, in my opinion, which is why I think this might be his best coaching job, because he has them in the upper tier of the Big Ten. And I'm looking at the guys on the court, and I'm like, man, they don't look like they should be here, in my opinion.
Well, Matt Painter's a great coach. I mean, they've got really no point guard I don't know what this Edie guy is. He's 7'4". He's a monster. He can't really move, but they're getting some value out of him. I mean, a lot of Purdue depends on Sasha Stefanovic. I mean, he can be a great shooter, and he's a streak shooter. When Sasha Stefanovic is hot, I mean, he's tough. But I've seen him in games when he clunks them too. So, I mean, a lot of their team depends on him. But you're right, Sam. It doesn't look like a great team. Stefanovic is a shooter. I mean, Travion can really play. But otherwise, you say, well, why are they, you know, but they've won their last 4 games, and they've won them against some good teams.
They've won some very narrow games.
Though. Narrow games, close games, true.
Yeah, but it's impressive that they came back against Ohio State, because, like, that's another Ohio State game where they went against a team that's very center-focused, and then Travion Williams picks up 2 fouls, which were kind of questionable fouls, and all of a sudden that guy's on the bench, and, you know, they're Purdue playing Zach Edey against another team. And like, I think that they've just been hot. But then I looked at, like, they were 5-20 in this. So, like, it felt like they were hot watching the game. And then I go back and look at the box score. You know, they were hot from two, I guess. And that's really been their story, that, like, they are making pull-up jumpers.
You know, they in the Michigan State game, they won shooting 4 of 24 from 3.
Well, yeah, but they also won with 55 points, so.
Yeah, I know, but they still, you know, in the end, they still won. And so, and it's the point of this particular Purdue team and Painter teams, perhaps in general, but particularly this one, is they're a ball of knives. And they're going to come out and they're going to play hard and nasty and tough, and they're always hard to beat, even when they don't have the most talented team. So it'll be an interesting game, tough game for Michigan, I think, and particularly in West Lafayette, where I don't think they've lost this year either. A lot like Minnesota, who hasn't, I don't think, has lost at their place this year either.
So Painter has a dilemma here, is that Trevion Williams is their offense. So when he goes out with foul trouble, it's a problem for them. So they kind of have to double Hunter Dickinson, but Trevion Williams himself, he's listed as 6'10". I don't buy that. I mean, that guy's 6'8", right?
Yeah.
And then they don't have the kind of second 6'9" guy who's really going to bother Hunter Dickinson, except for Aaron Wheeler. And Wheeler only plays half the time because he's still a wreck offensively. So for big chunks of this game, they're going to have to make a choice about probably an ineffective double on Hunter Dickinson and getting rained on like Maryland did, or exposing Trevion Williams to fouls that they might not be particularly able to deal with.
Let's take a couple of questions from the crowd before we get out of here, from the viewers on Facebook Live, Twitter, and YouTube. Start off first with Robert Goulder, Mike Smith, Shondi Brown. Do they stay? What do you guys think?
You know, I think Smith has a real good chance of staying because, you know, he came from Columbia. He hasn't really had the major college basketball experience. There's no fans this year. He probably isn't going to get a whole lot of pro interest because of his size. So I if I had to bet, I bet he's back. Shondi is a kind of a different animal, because the way he's playing, I could see him catching on an NBA roster as a D guy, right? Like, that's a guy who could come off the bench for 8 to 10 minutes. So
I think that's perfect, Brian. I mean, he reminds me of Brian Bowen, you know, a guy who can really move his feet, really play defense, but still hit the corner three and hit it really well. And the corner three doesn't get longer in the NBA. And so, I think there's a place for him in the NBA. Whether he wants to do, I don't know. He seems to be having fun. I mean, I've never seen a kid who has more fun on the court, you know, so.
And if you're Michigan, it's like, man, absolutely want that guy back, right?
Oh, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, any of the three seniors, like, if you look at the rotation next year without Franz, like, there's definitely a spot for one or two of those guys to come back. And
well, I assume Isaiah's gone, too. Yeah.
I mean, I could see Eli coming back. Like, he likes school as much as I do.
All right, let's get another one in here, guys. This is from Austin Cooper. Do you think the size of the team is the blueprint for future teams, or is it just Juwan Howard working with what is there? I love the size and athleticism, especially when it's like Wagner and Livers, who can both shoot. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that this team is going to be big going forward. Like, with Frankie, one of these kind of pint-sized point guards too, but he can jump out of the gym, so his effective size is a lot bigger than his actual size. And then everybody else, you know, Bufkin's 6'4", Shedder is 6'8", Tadibati's giant. And I think you're going to see that going forward, is that Michigan, this is probably the least athletic they're going to be under Juwan Howard, because the way he, and they're going to be a very large basketball.
Right? Yeah, I agree. It seems to be the direction he's going. But Frankie, when fans see Frankie, the first time they see him go to the hoop, they're going to freak out.
Yeah.
because I never saw anybody jump like that.
Yeah, and this is another reason why I really hope Mike Smith comes back, because, you know, I guess watching him this year, I kind of thought, based on the description, his jump shot was further along.
No, it's not.
And it's gonna continue to be a work in progress. So
our recruiting guy says that he's that Ipsy prep game was not entirely representative.
I'm going off of more than just Ipsy.
Me too.
That was my impression too. And he was like, he's not in the Xavier Simpson category. He has some ups.
Yeah, I guess I could go for that. But still, all the more reason for Mike Smith to be back next year if you can swing it. And I can't like you. It just makes sense for both sides. Let me throw this in there real quick. You know, that's Zeke.
And Bruce, not Bowen. Yeah.
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
Ryan Bowen is Tugs Bowen. Who,
right. Sorry. Correct.
For the Louisville deal. But, yeah, Bruce Bowen, bow tie guy, San Antonio Spurs, 3-and-D right. guy. You know, man, if I'm sure Shondi Brown would take that. Bruce Bowen. How long did Bruce Bowen stay in the league? He was like, forever.
18 yeah. million years.
Speaking yeah. of 18 million years in the league, Chad Henne.
Man. Talk about feeling old. I remember covering Chad Henne as a high school recruit.
You want to feel old? Do you know that there's a recruit named Jai Eugene Jr.?
Yes. I love that. Craig's used to this. I'm not used to this.
I'm used to it.
Jai Eugene Jr. And he's the baby. He's the one.
Yeah, he's there.
He got away from mom. Anyway, he's the baby that when he calls Ron English up and he said, hey, they got my mom a house and my dad a job and they're gonna take care. I gotta take care of my baby. And English said, yeah, go to LSU. go to LSU. We can't match that, man. You know, and hell, I can't say that. I would have told him the same thing personally.
Me too.
Well, take care worked out baby. For him. So
sure did. So
sure did.
I don't know. Do you know how good is Jai Eugene Jr. supposed to be? I haven't.
I blanked out. I passed out after I saw his name. So can't tell you.
Well, fellas, another week in the books. Another weekend. You like Zeke's comment about Bruce Bowen, right? We'll come back next week, and obviously we'll be breaking down more Michigan basketball. And then, of course, you know, we'll see. You got any predictions on Michigan versus Notre Dame on the ice, Brian? Any difference from the last couple of matches?
So the last couple of series, the second series against Notre Dame, has been an incredibly important series for Michigan to show their improvement going forward. They played excellently in the past two weekends, but Notre Dame can shut down anybody, and it's really important to get on the board first against them to make them play the game.
Yeah, I hate playing Notre Dame. Games are always ugly, and Brian's right. We got to score first to make their style of play, their trapping play work against them.
Yeah, I mean they played so bad the first year. You know, it's not would be the first time a Mel team kind of came back again.
That's it, folks. That is it.
Better than